Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have Leslie Kane. She's author of a brand new book, very new because it just went on sale, called UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. And it's a book that she wrote certain portions of it, and she also had a number of other people, government officials, military, etc. Even our friend Nick Pope has been on the show several times. They all contributed to this book with sightings and other information. So maybe in this last hour of the show here, Leslie, let's look at the end game. You don't like the word disclosure, so what do we call it, the process of finding out what's going on?
Because our focus is really not so much to find out what may have been kept secret, let's put it that way. But the approach is to set up a new government agency, a small one, which would not cost very much, that can link with other agencies around the world that are already working on the subject, and many of them are represented in the book by the heads of those agencies. And we want the U.S. government to decide that it's going to support this small agency. It doesn't really have to do very much except authorize some department to set it up. The point being that what we should be asking for is an investigation that will lead us to the discovery of what these objects actually are. And we can't be assuming that they're extraterrestrial, telling our officials that, and expecting our officials to respond to that. It's just not the way it works.
They'll think you're a bunch of wackos.
The disclosure concept. What's that?
They'll think you're a bunch of wackos if you demand that you tell us that ET's here.
The disclosure concept has a built-in presumption that it's an accepted, it's a given fact that the UFOs are extraterrestrial vehicles that are here. And we cannot, that isn't an accepted fact. Most people do not agree that that's an accepted fact, and they're not going to accept that as an accepted fact until scientists can do a legitimate investigation that determines that for us. And that's the step we need to take now, is for the U.S. government to be willing to play some kind of a minimal role in contributing to a worldwide effort to find out. And it doesn't have to be anything that's super public or with a lot of fanfare. They just have to be willing to fund a small office. We can use the model of the office in France, the GEPAN, and I've gone over there and I've spoken to the people over there, and I know how that system works. And it really doesn't take a lot of money or resources to do it, but it could make a huge difference.
But how do you know then, Leslie, that the government doesn't already have this going on behind the scenes?
They may have something deep, dark, buried behind the scenes. That's quite possible. We don't know one way or the other, you're right, they could, but this is something that would be completely separate from that. This is a public, an office that would be responsible to the public. Everything it does would be made public, and its purpose would be to be set up so that if an event took place, let's say like the Chicago O'Hare incident, for instance, it would be set up so that when an event took place that was worthy of investigation, such as that one, the system would be in place by which the event could be investigated very efficiently, quickly, and made public. The results of that investigation would be made public. That would be one purpose of the agency. And that's how they do it in JPON. They have a whole network of officials throughout the country that are in place and ready to assist with any kind of investigation that's needed. And they just take on the various cases that need to be probed. It would not be a secret, hidden program goes on in the background that nobody knows about. This would be very much something that's available to the public. It would have a board of people that were, not government people that would be working with it and would be helping out. So the secret government program, if there is one, can just continue on its merry way. But this is something that would sort of have to operate in parallel to that and in a really different kind of a framework.
Wouldn't that be the danger, though, that it was a secret program investigating UFOs and its implications? Wouldn't that work across purposes to a public agency?
Well, possibly, but I don't know to what extent there is a secret investigation going on. And I think it would depend on, some people have proposed that a lot of the people involved with the secret program want it to become public. So this is a way that maybe it could become public slowly, and I don't know. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I just think this is the rational approach that people can get behind, and I've also talked to enough people that are connected with government or that are involved with government to the extent that I believe this is really an achievable goal. And I've been advised that. And I don't think that, you know, screaming and yelling about something called disclosure and claiming that the ETs are here is going to get us anywhere. It hasn't yet, and I don't think it will in the future either. And I think this is a much more feasible, practical, and achievable goal.
Well, it sure makes sense from a public relations standpoint, too. The more that the government goes into denial, the louder and more shrill the, you know, the disclosure exopolitics.
Wackos.
Well, I was trying to be kind, Gene, but...
No. This is the PowerCast. We are not politically correct here.
Well, the louder and more shrill the wackos seem to get. So I think some sort of official recognition of the subject, at the very least, and I think a small agency, as you're proposing, would go a long way to at least show the public at large that this is a real issue. It's not a non-issue. And it would give the government plausible deniability for all the secret stuff that they're going to be doing anyway.
Right. I mean, I think your point about it's an acknowledgement that there is a subject and it's worthy of investigation. Just by the fact that they even set this thing up, they're acknowledging that fact. And to me, that alone is a big breakthrough because our government doesn't acknowledge that at this point.
Leslie, how do we prevent that from, say, becoming another Project Blue Book?
Well, I mean, that's, of course, something that everybody would want to avoid. And I think there is enough awareness of how of what the mistakes were of Project Blue Book. There's been so much written about it. There's so much known about it that I can't imagine if we had a board of people set up to, you know, work closely with the staffers within this office, which may only be one, two, three people, that were conscious of the whole problem with the Condon Committee. I think that we could be very capable of overseeing this agency and just not allowing that to happen again. Hopefully we would have enough people involved with the setting up of the agency within our government. If we had somebody like John Podesta, for instance, who could, you know, influence it in some way, we're going to put staffers in there that are not interested in wasting their time and doing something, repeating the mistakes of the past.
You know, looking at the overall picture of this agency, so it sounds to me like it's a small collating kind of group providing public information, but who does the investigation? Who funds the investigation? Does the government kick in money for the Air Force or military agencies? Do local police do it? Do independent investigators go out to check these cases?
Well, that's a very good question. I think, of course, all of this has to be worked out over time. But if you want to look at the French model, I mean, every case is going to be different in terms of what it requires to properly investigate it. I think that, yes, there will absolutely have to be a budget for it, but I don't think it would be a very big one because so many resources are already set up that can be used if there was a case to investigate, such as, for instance, in O'Hare Airport. If we had this agency set up, our official from that agency would be able to fly to O'Hare immediately, talk to everybody, talk to all the pilots, talk to all the witnesses, get access to any data that had been accumulated during the time, all the radar data, all the voice tape, all that information, because this is a government official, would be provided. And in that situation, I don't think it would cost a lot. It would depend on what kind of resources were needed. I mean, there may be labs that might be needed to study physical evidence that would have to be paid for, but the labs already exist. They don't have to be government labs. You know, things can be contracted out to existing agencies. Photographs can be analyzed by the best labs in the country, and they can be, obviously there's going to have to be some money involved, but it really doesn't have to be a lot, in my opinion.
Yeah, when you compare it to the amount of money we spent on bailing out banks and stuff. I mean,
exactly, and this is, of course, to get the ball rolling. I mean, ultimately, what we would hope for is that once this agency is set up and there's a certain legitimacy that's given to the subject within the U.S. government and within the U.S. culture in general, then what happens is the scientists start becoming more interested because they say, oh, our government says this is worthy of study. They set up an agency. Well, they think it's interesting. Okay, I'm going to take more of an interest in it. You're going to have scientists, therefore, you know, applying for grants, and you're going to have money. This agency can help release funds from various scientific, National Science Foundation, or whoever funds these scientists.
And we'll want to get into that in a moment, Leslie. We have Leslie Kane, author of a new UFO book, which is contributed by generals, pilots, government officials. Co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the PowerCast.
Hey, neighbors, have you been thinking about starting a website? Well, I'm going to tell you about a great offer from HostGator. HostGator is a world-famous leader in web hosting, and they make it easy for you to get your own .com domain name. You create your very own website with their free site builder tools and great selection of templates. Use the coupon code PowerCast. Once again, use the coupon code PowerCast and sign up at this special address, thepowercast.com/gator. That's G-A-T-O-R, thepowercast.com/gator. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
You worry, but only because you're paying attention. What's happening in the Gulf of Mexico illustrates an audacity toward nature. A similar audacity called GMO, or genetically modified organisms, means that the quality of commercially grown food may be compromised with our health in the balance. Now that summer's here, what better time to learn about the bounty that nature provides in wild edible food? Let author Linda Runyon show you the best-kept secret in plain sight that food is everywhere you look. This summer, for the cost of a good meal or two out, you can literally starvation-proof yourself and your loved ones against any future craziness and put up tons of free food, too. Whatever experiment is being run on us, you can rest assured that Linda's 50 or so staple foods aren't involved. Our foods are their enemy. So go to ofthefield.com or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and take that first step. Make your oasis of food security and nutrition now. That's OFTHEFIELD.com or call 1-888-513-2837. Start now and make 2010 your year of independence.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
How do you spell hard-hitting talk radio? G-C-N. The Genesis Communications Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
Leslie Kane joining us for three more segments. Her new book is UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. Now, I'm going to look at some of the downsides here, okay, because I think we all want some kind of intense investigation to see what's going on. What's going to happen if they try to bring up this agency right now in this political climate? You'll have the opposition saying, oh, those the tax and spend liberals are trying to waste our government money on flying saucers. How can they get away with such a thing? So how do you combat that? Is this book one way that's really going to do it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, our plan is to let the book develop some momentum for a while. And then we, you know, I already have people in place that are willing to help try to make this happen. And the, what I've been told from my people is that it, first of all, we made the point that it's not going to cost a lot. So I don't think that this, yeah, I mean, there are going to be certain negative people who are going to come out and make comments like the ones you just said. But the idea is to sort of be very low key about this and to sort of slip it in, you know, within some kind of budget that's being developed within a certain committee, you know, a congressional committee that might oversee, like, certain budgets within the, let's say, Department of Defense or something. And, you know, they're talking about huge amounts of money, and they just, we just sort of, we get this thing worked in somehow to the program. And it's not going to, it's going to take a tiny amount of money to do it. And hopefully it's not going to be a big deal. I mean, that's sort of, we just want it to happen quietly, let's put it that way. And, you know, I can't anticipate what the response is going to be. If people say, you know, a waste of money on flying saucers, well, we'll just have to deal with that at the time.
Do you have a budget, a budget for this kind of program, something to say, hey, it's going to cost this much for the office space, this much for personnel, and for investigative efforts? Do you have anything like that?
No, I mean, Gene, that's really way, way beyond, you know, basically
sure.
I sort of have with some other, some colleagues, sort of a basic kind of ground plan of what we think should happen, but none of the details have been worked out. And there's lots of other people, I'm sure, that will weigh in on it when it happens. And all that kind of stuff will have to be worked out. We're just trying to sort of get that initial door open, you know. But I probably wouldn't even be the one to decide that. I mean, I'm not going to, I'm not in any position to try to figure out what a budget would be. But hopefully the people that are, you know, will come around at the time. So really, I mean, we have a very generalized plan that, that is going to require a lot of refining and thought before it's actually going to be able to be implemented. Hopefully that's going to be a process that will take a little time, but will happen.
I have a feeling it's going to take a really spectacular multi-witnessed event to create the public groundswell that's going to be needed to really give some sort of motivation, I think, to the government to take this whole thing finally, take it seriously and stop being in denial. I mean, it might take a mothership landing in Red Square or in Lafayette Park, maybe not on the White House lawn, but, you know, maybe across the street in Lafayette Park, that might do it. I just have a real problem with, you know, a government that's been lying to us, obviously, to some degree for 60 years on the subject. And one of the things that I constantly hear myself saying about the disclosure pipe dream is that how could you trust a government that has been lying to you for 60 years, even if they told you the truth? So I think your idea of creating an official body, finally, you know, I think modeled after the French example, that's going to go a long way, I think, to finally get this subject moving forward. I'm off my soapbox there, Gene.
No, I mean, I agree. And, you know, you have to realize that a number of the contributors in the book who are very outspoken about this issue are people that have headed up government bodies in other countries.
Right.
So just because you're part of a government body doesn't automatically mean that you're a liar or you're hiding things or you can't be trusted or, you know, the way people tend to react. I mean, I really believe we just have to have faith that, like we have in these other countries, we can get staffers in the American agency working with people outside of that agency very closely also that can rise to the occasion just the way they have in other countries. And the thing about a major event, like you said, yeah, that would be pretty spectacular, but we can't wait around for that.
I'm not holding my breath.
And, you know, there is the element that, which a lot of people are concerned about, of national security and aviation safety problems. And if there was some event where, let's say something, like you said, some spectacular thing was really close to the ground or did something different that it's never done before, we have no way of knowing how our defense system is going to respond to that because nobody's trained, nobody's prepared. And so there's risks involved in not getting something in place where, you know, we can be a little more prepared and less ignorant, where we can become informed about what may lie ahead so that we don't react in some kind of knee-jerk way that is dangerous and counterproductive, which is what the risk is.
Of course, we've also had, more than 60 years of UFOs. If we go back through history, maybe hundreds or thousands of years of UFOs. So we could look at the downside saying, well, why bother? I mean, they're not doing anything to harm us. Just let it happen.
That's another, a lot of people would, and I think it's a legitimate question, really, is the question of, why is this important? Why should we spend even an ounce of time on this given all the problems we face in the world? And there are problems that are only going to be getting worse over time. And I think that's a legitimate position to take. I mean, I don't happen to agree with it because I know enough about this phenomenon to believe that the discovery of this could be a very transformative event for our civilization and our world, because it could change the way we view who we are. And so one can't anticipate the implications that might have for all aspects of how we live our lives and the way our society is structured, or who knows what. But once you get the knowledge to understand that there's something really going on here, it's I don't see how one can turn, how you can turn your back on something that could be so explosive if it was ever properly investigated and really, really, it has been investigated. I don't mean to diminish all the great work that's been done on this by people, but really taken upon a large scientific community internationally to become proactive and to decide they're going to find out a lot more about it. That could really change our perceptions of who we are and what life is and everything else. So I don't think it's something that should be minimized.
The alternative here would be to maybe get a grant from one of these very rich people. Like, we know, for example, that many of the billionaires are going to be giving away a large portion of their wealth to charity. Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, people like that. What about going to private industry and saying, hey, give us a few million, we can set up the office, maybe hire a few investigators, and do it that way, not like, as they say, a low-budget UFO investigative body with volunteers like a MUFON, not to attack MUFON. I'm sure everyone who works with them is very dedicated, but something that has enough money behind it to really do something. Forget about the governments.
Yeah, I think that's the other option. Ideally, you'd want to have it be within the government, because then it has the official recognition. It has that official stamp, as Edgar Mitchell puts it. It becomes part of the official structure, and it can interact with other governments. But, if that's an absolute impossibility, yes, if you can get somebody to fund a nonprofit, an NGO type of organization. Again, if it's outside the government, it's not going to be able to accomplish the same level, I don't think, of work in terms of accessing funding for scientists from government agencies and all the things that go on when you're part of the government structure. But they could even both happen.
Okay, I'll tell you what, we'll get into this in a moment. Leslie Kane, author of a new UFO book. Our co-host Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Fortean phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
This is Alex Jones with 5 good reasons you should consider buying a solar power generator. Number 1, new climate legislation could easily double or triple your electric bill. Number 2, our new energy czar wants to control how much power your electric company allows you to have. It's true. Total government control of electricity in the name of smart grid technology is coming. Number 3, in some areas of the country, the power grid is dangerously overloaded. And now, new socialist legislation is only compounding the problem. Number 4, Dangerous weather is always a threat to local grids. Every year, thousands of families lose their power from weather-related outages. Number 5. A solar power generator provides powerful backup, insurance, and peace of mind. Folks, I really believe in the solar power generators offered by Solutions from Science, one of my oldest sponsors. You can get more information at www.mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com or call 1-877-327-0365.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Fan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month, I completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Attention, an important product from hempusa.org, microplant powder, will change your life by removing all types of positive toxins, such as heavy metals, parasites, bacteria, viruses, and fungus from the digestive tract and stomach wall so you can absorb nutrients. Microplant powder is 89% silica and packed with a negative charge that attracts positive toxins from the blood, organs, spine, and brain. This product has the ability to rebuild cartilage and bone, which allows synovial fluid to return to the joints. Silica is a precursor to calcium, meaning the body turns silica into calcium and is great for the heart. There is no better time than now to have microplant powder on your shelf or in your storage shelter. And with an unlimited shelf life, you can store it anywhere. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. It's a great way to change your life. So call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
I just want to hear more of it.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Yes, yes, yes.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
We have Leslie Kane joining us for two more sessions. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in the Paracast. And we were talking about, you know, whether it would be feasible to have a private agency do this. And I'm not thinking of something with $10, $20, or $100,000. But if it doesn't happen with $1 million, sure, Bill Gates can hand you $1 billion without taking a breath. Warren Buffett, maybe if those people gave you a huge sum of money, it would have to be taken seriously.
Totally. And not me, but they would be given to some kind of an organization that would be a scientifically based organization that would, provide, I assume grants to scientists and try to pull the scientific community in. And of course, that would be a wonderful thing because you can go direct to the scientists and bypass the government. I think that's a feasible option, and that the scientists, once they became more involved and, the whole thing became more legit, then ultimately the government would come along anyway. So, you know, the two writers in the book that wrote the piece about the UFO taboo, Dr. Wendt and Duval, the two political scientists who wrote this piece for my book, very much believe that they're very much behind the NGO idea that you just proposed. And they've thought a lot about it and put out some ideas about how that could happen and what the group could do and so on. So I think it's a very valid and interesting approach as well.
Well, one of the things you'd have with that is you wouldn't have the borders of the government and restrictions because of the fact that the U.S. government doesn't want to sacrifice national security. So let's not talk to the British. Forget about not talking to the Russians or Saudi Arabia or something. They won't even talk to the British if there's security concerns. But if you're a non-government organization, you don't have that limitation. You can contact scientists anywhere around the globe and recruit them and get work done.
Well, that's true. But on the other hand, you don't have the access that government officials have. You're not going to have access to all this official data, within 24 hours, say, at O'Hare Airport, if you walk in there and you're a scientist. If you're a government official, you can get everything you need to investigate a case quickly. And so that's the advantage that the government agency has. You know, they're part of the official system. They can demand whatever they want. So, I mean, I think there's pros and cons to both sides of that.
Looking at the conspiratorial theory, let's say the government knows a lot about this. Certainly it's been running around. There have been investigations for a lot of years. Is it possible that they are planning a gradual revelation of this, just as we learned, for example, there are more Earth-like planets around the universe? We discover that. We discover the life in the Martian meteorites, et cetera, et cetera. There's water on the moon. There's water on Mars. How many more steps would it take? Could it be part of a gradual, I won't say disclosure, a gradual awareness?
Yeah. Now, when you say they are planning something, I'm just curious who this they is.
I would assume they is government, that there are people in the government who maybe are aware of what's going on. I can't think they're that stupid. There have to be military people who have all this evidence, especially if a lot of it's been disclosed, and they have to say, you know what, we've got to have a plan. Maybe there is a plan afoot, but they're not telling you. You don't have
okay,
a need
so
to know.
You think it's feasible that this group within the government really has the ability to impact, you know, all the things in the culture and the media? And I mean, I don't know. I just, you know, when I hear things like that, I tend to back away and not think that's likely what's going on.
What do they know? Are they just totally ignorant of what's going on? They just want to sweep it under the rug?
Well, I think it depends on what you mean by they. How you define the government.
They being government. Let's talk about U.S. government. When we define they, let's assume that our term refers to people within the government. Wouldn't they know something?
Well, I think some of them probably do. I think most of them don't, quite honestly. That if you're talking about elective members of Congress, say...
Well, it goes without saying they don't know what's going on. I'm talking about military
more
officials.
More than just,
you know,
UFOs.
Yeah, you know, the people who are life-termers, not just the bureaucrats, but the military, the people who have been working there for decades, confronted with all this information.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, Gene. I mean, I assume that some of them, I really don't know the answer to that question. I mean, I've explored that in the book, the both sides of the question of whether there's a secret program and a cover-up and how much they... I mean, I...
We've got to get more of those people.
People that know something. Obviously,
we've got to get them to come forward if there are those people. One of the things that I really appreciated in your book was Chapter 25 by Fife Symington, who did something very rare in this field for a public official. He actually did a mea culpa. And, of course, long-time listeners to the Paracast know about this story. But why don't you give us a little thumbnail sketch of Fife Symington's role in the Phoenix Lights?
I agree that it's a very unusual story because he's been on both sides. He's been one of the people in the government hiding it and ridiculing it. And now he's done this flip and is on the opposite side. And, you know, in case people don't know that's what's so interesting. He knows both sides of the fence intimately. And he is, of course, a proponent for change in government as a result. But people probably know the story that back in 1997, during the Phoenix Lights incident, he was the governor, and he held what he called his spoof press conference, which everybody was so upset about, where his chief of staff came into the press conference dressed up as an alien. And he said something like, you know, we're going to explain this incident, and, you know, you're all taking it much too seriously, and they laughed, and people were very upset by this at the time, for obvious reasons. And he came out, you know, years later, 10 years later, actually, and acknowledged that he had actually seen the thing himself, the object, and has become since a really outspoken advocate for change within the government. And he talks a lot in the book. I mean, he's written his own piece, as you mentioned, but I also have a lot of material I've included based on interviews with him, recent interviews, that where he talks about what it was like for him to be in that position as governor and why he has changed and how he sees it differently now. And it's a really interesting story. I mean, it's very rare where you're going to have a government official that is as open as he is and has the kind of turnaround that he has had.
Well, you know, of course, also, if we have to be fair about Fife Symington, his departure as governor of Arizona was not done under the best of circumstances. I guess he's lived it down. He was pardoned officially and everything, but he did have a problem.
Right.
Okay,
but I don't know what
does that impact at all his credibility and standing because he had that problem that got him out of office?
It doesn't, in my opinion, because of the interviews I've done with him and the people I've talked to in Arizona about the politics of that state and what kind of things go on in terms of, the political infighting that goes on in Arizona. And, I mean, I'm not going to comment on all the details of what happened with
No,
him.
It doesn't matter. I know that I live in Arizona, and there's a lot of weird stuff that goes on here. We understand
that. Oh, boy.
And,
there's a lot of weird stuff.
He may have made some mistakes. I don't know. I think that Vice Symington, the man that I know, has a lot of integrity and is very honest, and I don't feel that that has anything to do with what he's talking about here, quite honestly.
Now, as a former governor, has he been able to influence his fellow governors to look at this issue?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. He does have a lot of friends in political places. He does talk about this, but I think he's really been waiting for this book to come out because it's sort of like something material that can be handed to people and used, and people can read it and get a new perspective on things. So he's going to become much more active, in the next year when we start really moving forward with this. Until now, he did the press conference with us in 2007, and he's been fairly quiet since, waiting for the book, but talking to people privately, but nothing beyond that at this point. But that's going to change.
So with the book out, with circulation increasing, as you do more and more public appearances on different radio and TV shows, are you going to bring people like a Fife Symington with you?
Yeah, if they are asked to, absolutely. He's willing to participate, as are many of the other people.
Would he come on the Paracast with you?
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay, let's work
that
out.
I mean, you just got to make the request. Make the request, and then, we can see what we can do.
Okay, well, look at that. By the way, we have Leslie Kane. She's author of a book called UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record, with a lot of material that maybe some of you have heard, some of you have not heard. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. For one more session, you're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
No one likes foreclosure. You won't say, think, or even consider foreclosure with ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Why? Because ZeroDebtGuarantee.com guarantees to stop your foreclosure for at least 2 years with no payments, no bankruptcy, and no negotiating. Thinking loan modification? That still keeps you in default. Zero Debt in 90 days is the only proven system that keeps you in your house for as long as you want to stay, while making it possible to even get clear title to your house. No, we are not investors, bankers, attorneys, or real estate agents. We are a group of people just like you that are sick and tired of the housing crash, and we've helped thousands avoid foreclosure since 1993. Please visit our website today, ZeroDebtGuarantee.com, or call to see how we can help save you tens of thousands of dollars and save your home. Call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Guaranteed to stop foreclosure.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com, or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
10 years. Genesis. A decade of talk. Genesis. Great Talk Radio is here on the Genesis Communications Network.
You've entered another dimension. You've entered the Paracast.
Leslie Kane joining us for our final visit for this week's session. Chris O'Brien is the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. So let's look at, in the next 10 minutes or so, what's going to happen the next year. The book, on the stands, you make the public appearances. What sort of work are you going to do to try to, as they say, spread the word, get the efforts going?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the work initially is to just get some kind of momentum going on this issue in terms of it establishing a new level of credibility and acceptance, you know, in the mainstream. And that's an important component, but what I'm really most interested in is the work that follows that, which has to do with putting into effect the goals that we outline in the book, which basically is what we've been discussing, getting this little small government body set up if we can, and we're going to try very hard to do it. That's really the work that's important. And, you know, we'll take place in the next year or two. I think the momentum is important because it does draw, it gives the book attention, and that's important in terms of, you know, being able to affect change. But I'm really most interested in the structural change that we hope to accomplish in Washington and how that will go about. You know, we'll be meeting with various people who will help guide us into the right structure and the right location for this agency, and then the right committee, and then the right, you know, bill where it might be able to be added into a budget and that kind of thing. It's all very, just a lot of stuff like that has to be handled, and might take some time, but you know, that's really the goal, the ultimate goal of this whole thing.
Are there any plans for a follow-up press conference similar to the ones that you and James Fox did in 2007?
I don't know, because you know, but I don't want to just do a repeat of something we've already done, and it's also a very expensive thing to do because you've got to fly in people and put them up and everything. I mean, if somebody wanted to provide a budget for something like that, and somebody wanted to organize it, that would be great. but it's not something that I have the resources to do on my own. So we'll just see what happens once the word gets around. I don't know.
Well, I think your book is sorely needed in this field in terms of trying to get, as you mentioned at the outset of the show, trying to get people who normally would not take an interest in this subject because of the woo-woo factor, because of a lot of the disinformation and uncritical thinking that's out there in the field. I think this book is going to go a long way in bringing people who are skeptical but open-minded, who would normally not deal with this subject. I think your book is very well conceptualized in its scope, and I think you've really done a good job bringing very, very credible people from the highest levels of the military and government together. Any plans in the future for a follow-up book? You mentioned possibly doing one with scientists involved. You mentioned Peter Sturrock, for instance, in there in the Sturrock Report. Have you given any thought of doing a follow-up to this work using the same
really
type of approach?
Well, Chris, that's very kind of you to even suggest that. But I just finished this one, and it's been so hard and so overwhelming to get it done that I can't even think about it right now. Anything else?
You need a vacation, huh?
Well, yeah, I guess so. I'm not going to get one, but
you're not.
Now the next step is to just deal with the what's going to happen as a result of this, and we'll see what happens over time. You know, I think another really important point that you made about it, trying to reach people who wouldn't even normally read a book on UFOs. They're just not that concerned about it. Another important point in that whole scenario is the correct definition of the word UFOs. Because, you know, I established right at the beginning of the book, what does the word UFO actually mean? It means unidentified flying object. And it's been such a problem in the culture and in the communication issues around this topic that people define it as an alien spacecraft. That's what most people think a UFO is, an extraterrestrial spacecraft. So then you get the question, do you believe in UFOs? And there's all these issues around whether you're a believer or not. And I think a real job that we all have is to try to separate the facts from the projections and for people to realize that this is not a matter of belief. Nothing in this book is about a matter of belief. It's about what do we actually know.
Yeah.
Factually about this phenomenon and what don't we know. And the root of that is to really understand what the word UFO means. Don't you agree that's important?
Absolutely. In fact, I see in the book, throughout the book, that you rely on other terminology as well, unidentified aerial phenomenon being the main acronym that's being used throughout the book. I do think there is a stigma attached. I think languaging, as you pointed out eloquently, is very, very crucial and important in this whole realm. Ray Stanford, for instance, who I admire as one of our top analysts in the UFO realm in the private sector, has come up with the term anomalous aerial object, AAO. There are other, ways to describe these craft, but I think you're absolutely right. The term UFO it has a smell to it now, and it's tainted. And it's unfortunate that we haven't really languaged something, I think, that everyone can agree on that gets us beyond the little green men jokes at the end of local broadcasts and the automatic off switch that gets clicked in normally, critical thinking, rational people. This is a problem. I think your book is going to go a long way to help get beyond this stigma that's been attached to this. I really think that you're doing the job that you did on this book was absolutely groundbreaking in some sense of the word. And I really do hope you and wish rather and hope for all of the success that this book deserves.
Well,
I think Gene will agree that we really appreciated the opportunity to be one of the first to talk about the book with you on the air. And good luck. You're going to get a lot of attention with this.
Well, I appreciate both of your support and your comments and your intelligent questions. And it's been I've had a great time talking to you.
What's your gut feeling? I mean, where do you think, I think in sort of a general way, do you think there's any hope for your proposal to go forward? Or do you think that people are so entrenched in their thinking that it's going to be virtually impossible to get this subject opened up to a wider acceptance?
Well, I mean, I definitely do think there's hope. Otherwise, I would never have, put all the time and energy into this that I put into it. So I know that there are so many people that are so curious about this issue, and I think that even the status quo, when they are given the proper kinds of information, from highly credible people, and it's not presented in a way that's accusing them of a cover-up or, you know, yelling and screaming at them or, you know, making claims that can't be verified and all of that. I'm very hopeful, and I know, you know, we already have some, here we have John Podesta, and there are others like him that are out there. They just don't speak about it. They haven't really had anything that they can hang their hat on in a certain way or anything concrete. And we need a focal point, and I think that focal point is what this government agency is going to be when it's created. So I have a tremendous amount of hope, actually. And if I didn't, I think I'd be in trouble, because that's what I have to rely on to carry this forward. I'm in a belief in what I'm doing, you know, an enthusiasm for it. I believe that this is an extremely important issue. And I've been, you know, I'm not going to let it go, and I'm going to do everything I can to implement the book's intent. And I believe that there's enough of a chance that it could happen that I'm willing to put all my energy into doing what I can to make it happen.
The book is called UFOs, and the subtitle is Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. And the author is Leslie Kane. She also has this new site, UFOsOnTheRecord.com, UFOsOnTheRecord.com. And what that is a site where she'll have more information, follow-ups, blogs, and stuff like that as she progresses and continues with her researches and efforts to set up this agency. Chris O'Brien, tell our listeners where they can find more of the things that you write about.
I do have a website, Gene. It's called Our Strange Planet, O-U-R, Strange Planet. It is a strange planet. It's OurStrangePlanet.com. All my entire database is there from my many years in the San Luis Valley investigating things that go bump in the night. So I urge everybody to go there and have a visit. My database is available for anyone who's interested enough to look at it.
Thank you very much. Leslie Kane, Chris O'Brien, thank you both for joining us this week on the PowerCast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being on, and thank you, Gene.
The PowerCast is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the PowerCast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNLive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.